In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Today is the seventh month, the 26th day, the year 2015. And it's the ninth Lord's Day after Pentecost. And it's also the feast day of the great Saint Anne, the grandmother of God and the mother of the Blessed Virgin Mary. The title of this lecture is RJMI Update 7/26/2015. And we're going to give a brief update on what's been going on over here with our books and all the works that are being done. The first thing we'll talk about here is that this week we were banned from Vimeo, where we put a lot of our videos up. We first tried to put our videos up on YouTube, and YouTube rejects a lot of our videos. So then we go to Vimeo, and so we put those ones up on Vimeo. And what happened, we were banned from Vimeo before. All it takes is some wise ass to report you, and they don't like us anyway, and they ban us for hate speech and harassment. We're haters, we're harassers, you know, and all that. Here, these are the people that hate God and His Ten Commandments. They're the real haters, and they're telling us we're the haters. But it's expected that this is going to happen. So we posted them back up again. We waited about a week or so, and we posted them back up on Vimeo again. And so somebody reported this again. And Vimeo, YouTube, when they reject one of your videos, they only reject one of them. They don't take off all the rest of your videos. Vimeo, they take them all off. So if you're complained about it and they don't like one of your videos, they knock them all off. Well, even that Nathaniel Kapner, who has a lot of good stuff, they banned him, and they ban a lot of people. But we're prepared for this anyway. We knew this was going to happen. Eventually, YouTube's going to ban everything we have anyway themselves. They also got some of our stuff up there as hate speech and won't put it up. That's why you went to Vimeo. But eventually, we're going to be banned by all these people. So I'm prepared for that. And our next step is, and this is the first time we did this, I got a lot of space on my website. My web server site, I got a lot of space on there. I don't use a lot of the bandwidth. So these videos now that we had up on Vimeo, we now upload it on my own website. So when you go there, you're going to be watching them from my own website. So I'm the one who sits in and rejects it or accepts it. And if it's from me, of course I'm going to accept it, you know. So I'm not going to let these people be judging and having a chance to knock them off. I'm still going to keep the ones up on YouTube as long as I'm allowed to do it. But the ones that I can't, then I'm going to be putting up on my own website. You look at our website, that's where they are now. How many videos we have up there now? About 9. And eventually, when YouTube bans me, all my videos are going to be up on my website. And it's a nice system. It works really nice. The video player is built into the HTML, and it's supposed to be a lot more efficient and all that. Now, as a reminder, what I did here, though, the ones that were uploaded on YouTube and Vimeo are high quality, high definition. So you could get them up at high definition, and on YouTube, you can go at high, medium, or low definition. But now, because I'm putting it up on my website, I don't want to put it up at high def. It takes up too much space. To give you an example, a high definition video might be about 2 gigs maybe. But low definition is 230 megabytes on the low definition. And so there's two advantages to that. It's not real bad. I don't want lousy quality. So we posted up the low definition on my site, about 230 megabytes. It's still good enough quality. You'll see it. It's still pretty good. And the audio is good. I'm more important about the audio also. So the quality is still good, comparatively speaking, than if I was to put it up under 1 gigabyte. Now, that's also good for people who want to download my videos. It's a lot easier. It's harder to download a 1 gigabyte file than a 230 megabyte file. So you'll look at it. The quality is still pretty good. It's not really bad quality, and the audio is good. But if you want to get the high definition, order it from us, and we'll send it to you on a DVD. It'll be the highest definition that we have here. We even have the super high definition, but we don't use that. You have to have like the Blu-ray and all that. So we have high definition. Order it from us if you want the high definition. That's a 3 gig file. And also with the high definition, if you order from us, where there are menus that you can link to subchapters, we have the menus. So you can actually then link to the menus. Also, the hard drives that we all have that has all the videos on it, our hard drives that contains the whole website in one hard drive, that has all the high definition videos. So what you're going to be looking at now that's on my website, at least with these 9 videos, the quality's not as good as it was before, but it's still acceptable. And it's easier for you to download. And if you want high quality, just order it from us. Now, the Hellenization of Christianity by the anti-church fathers is being delayed, because I'm now adding a whole new section to it. And it's going to now be titled, The Hellenization of Christianity by the Anti-Church Fathers, the Scholastics, and Other Humanists. So what I'm determining here to do is, because it all belongs in one book really, because they're all Hellenizers. The Anti-Church Fathers began it, then it was defeated, in the 4th century and went underground. Then it came back up again in the 11th century when the Great Apostasy began by the Scholastics. So it's all part of one mechanism. What I was going to do is just do the anti-church fathers in this book and have a whole separate book for the Scholastics, against the Scholastics. Abelard, Peter Lombard, Aquinas, one of the most damaging, influential of the Scholastics. Albert the Great Wretch. And so that was going to be a whole separate book. But then I said, wait a second, it really belongs in one book because it's all part of the Hellenization of Christianity, and then I can always refer them back to the beginning chapters of the book where I'm condemning it, and I'm explaining to you what is the Hellenization of Christianity, which is a glorification of Greek philosophy and mythology and other philosophies and mythologies. That's what it is. So it really is going to be a giant book is what we're getting at here. I almost finished the first part with the anti-church fathers, but now I'm working on, it's like a whole nother book in itself, the Scholastics. I just was slaying an ox this week, and that ox was the dumb ox Aquinas. I'm almost done with the section on him, which is about 40, 50, 60 pages on him alone. Him and Jerome are the two most evil people. Influential people. Origen, also, I said, was damaging because he began it, but the most damaging was Jerome and Aquinas because they were never condemned the way they should have been. You're going to learn a lot of things about that dumb ox. He should have remained the dumb ox. He'd have a better chance to save his soul. It's when he wanted to become a genius when he got pride and he became stupid. Ecclesiastes 7:17. Be not more wise than is necessary, lest you become stupid. And he was very, you're going to find out a lot of things about him that they've hid from you. Facts that there was a lot of people in his own day that condemned him, opposed him, pulled out all the heresies in his Summa and everything. Then he was idolized by these other people, and the battle was on. I don't want to talk too much about it here. I want this to be a brief update. But that's what's taken me so long with that book. Now, in the meantime, in me working on that book, I started another book and completed it. It's called The Apostate Hitler and His Sins and Non-Sins. Now, that book is just completed. That took me 3 months to do, I think. And that took me off. Because the reason I had to do that is once I did the conspiracy to Jews, there's a lot of good things that Hitler did do also. That's why I call it sins and nonsense. With him, I'm treating it a little differently. With other people, I just talk about maybe they're like apostate Jerome, against Jerome, anti-church father Jerome, about his sins. You know, but a lot of good things he did, everybody knows about the good things he did. That's all they know. They don't know about the bad things he did. With Hitler, it's the opposite. Everything, there's a lot of things that they say Hitler did that were sins, that were not sins at all. They were very good things that he did. But the things that he did that were sinful, we were never really told about them. Not the really sinful things, not all of them. I got 15 sins against the faith that Hitler committed. He was an apostate, an idolater, and a heretic. On 15 points at least. Stuff I never knew about that. But this didn't concern people that much. A lot of times the apostate anti-popes were holding the same sins against the faith that he did. And the ones that they weren't holding, they did not denounce him personally nor condemn him, his works. Apostate to Pope Pius XI was sort of hinting that it was Hitler, but he never said it was Hitler. He never denounced him and never condemned any of his work. So I was pretty surprised about how bad Hitler was to the extent that his sins were against the faith. I knew he was bad, but I didn't know he was that bad. But this book is going to show that. But I also have the part where it shows you the good stuff he did, you know, by exposing the plots of the Jews and the Freemasons. All right, by fighting against the Allied powers who were way more evil than him. This book will prove to you that Hitler was a monster indeed. But he was still a lesser monster than the Allied rulers that he was fighting against. So all Catholics and men of goodwill had to still support him in that war. But no Catholic could have been in religious communion with him. You couldn't pray with him. You couldn't let him come into a church. But, you know, this goes on. When you see the stuff that this guy believed in, and you go, how could the apostate anti-popes not condemn him? Because they didn't condemn nobody for the last 1,000 years. As time goes on, they're condemning less and less and less and less and less. They had to pull apostate anti-pope Leo X's teeth to condemn Luther and excommunicate him. He wasn't going to do it. So as we go on, nobody's being condemned anymore. And it's a great crime. If I would have had the book that I just wrote now, the book that apostate anti-pope Pius XI should have done, if he would have done what I did, everyone would have known for sure what Hitler believes in. They would have known where it is, and they would have no doubt about it. It only took me 3 months to do it. I don't have like a whole bunch of geniuses surrounding me, like his apostate anti-cardinals and all his theologian geniuses. But the reason they didn't want to do it is because they're non-judgmentalists and non-punishmentalists. So they never did what it took me just only 3 months to do. And it would have solved a lot of problems. Would you mind telling me like who in Germany held these real heresies? Give me the names. Tell me where they live. Give me the books that they have so I don't get led astray by their books and speeches. Would you mind telling me? They didn't do it. But this book's a very big book. I just completed it. It's 105 pages. It's being edited now on its last stages, and it should be up in about a couple weeks, maybe, in that book. And it's also, we edited my book, Woe to You Who Call Evil Good. That's going to be going up at the same time as the Apostate Hitler and His Sins and Nonsense book. Okay, and the last thing, just to remind you, we are working on the prayer book. It's almost done, and it's rearranged. It's in better order. The table of context, the prayers are arranged in a better way. We added some more prayers to it. And so that book is getting ready to be posted up too. And along with, I already in my last update told you all the other work that I'm doing too. The hardest part that was about this against Scholasticism, just as, and we'll end the lecture right here. It was sort of the same thing I did when it was my Great Apostasy book that I did, The Great Apostasy. Scholasticism, I've been saving up notes for 10 years or more on Scholasticism, maybe more even. And I started to write the book like maybe four or five times. So I got all these different notes. I got stuff all over the place. So just organizing it, getting together all my notes into one place so I don't repeat myself or I don't miss anything. And that alone is a humongous task. That's what I had to do with the Great Apostasy book when you look about all the crimes of the humanists and all that. So now when I'm sitting down and I'm attacking this Scholasticism part, I'm putting my full effort into it now. And I'm not going to stop till I complete it. This is the final effort where I'm going to put it out there. And in a sense, the final mountain will not really be completely, totally destroyed till I get this book out there with the book against the Scholastics. It really is, because I have enough up there. People have been listening to me over the years. Everybody knows who has goodwill that Aquinas was a heretical apostate bastard when you look at his teachings. I got him on six heresies in his own writings. Let alone you're going to find out there were people condemning him back then for heresies he held in the days he was living in. I got him on six heresies at least. Horrible heresies. Horrible. And he idolized Aristotle, the philosopher. He always puts him with the big P, the philosopher. He got his revelations from Aristotle on a lot of things, and that's where he went bad. He didn't get it from Christ. He went to Aristotle on a lot of them and the philosophers. You already know about that. But the book is going to have it in detail. It's going to give you the sources. Even when I was talking about anti-church Father Jerome, I may not have given all the sources and all the evidence. But I gave you enough to know for sure, if you're of goodwill, that these guys are not Catholic. But when the book comes out, you're going to see it right in your face with more evidence and all the sources looking right at you. So that's what's taking so long on that. And we pray to God. I thank God for all the great work He's given me. I always say, for the great and good work the Lord has given me. It's horrible. I don't like this work in the sense of the Scholasticism stuff. It's ugly work. You know, when you have to go in here and weed out ugly things, I really feel bad in a way, because I like to start writing about the faith. And that's what I like the best, the catechism, talking about the positive dogmas of our faith, teaching people how to be good Catholics. This is the kind of writing I love. But I do not like writing the stuff about going in there and condemning these guys, because I got to read their crappy work. I got to weed out all their heresies. I got to weed out all their lies. It's like trying to get a hold of a snake, you know, a slippery snake or a greased pig. That's what it's trying to get a hold of. And in the meantime, you got to read their craps, because you got to refute it. Like when our Lord said to St. Peter, there's going to be a day where you're going to have to go where you don't want to go. I really don't want to go there. And if Jesus said, if you wanted to go there, Richard, there'd be something wrong with you. But you need to go there, because you need to pull out just enough of their heretical teachings to show people what buffoons they were, what dopes they were, what fools they were, show them all their heresies. And then when this book is done, from 1250 forward with the theologians, you're out. I'm burning all the books. It may even go back to around 1150. Lombard Sentences was bad too, really. 1130 forward. I don't need none of you bums. You're done as far as theology is concerned. I'm going to start going back with the first 1,000 years and minus the anti-church fathers. And you're going to see pure theology. You ask yourself your questions. These people are coming along like Aquinas, and he was denying dogmas that were defined by popes and councils and by the unanimous consensus of the apostles and the other church fathers. So either Aquinas is right or they're right. They both can't be right. I've been proving this to you as we go along. Okay, so I thank God for all the great good work He's given me, and He continued to do so on the great St. Anne on this feast day, who I invoke as my special patroness to protect the mission that God has given me. I invoke her for that. She protects the mission God has given me. All right? I say it like this. Good St. Anne, protect me from anyone or anything that tries to take away this mission God has given me, especially from my own self, from my own concupiscences. Protect me from my own self so I can get this work done. First of all, infallibly, and then impeccably. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.